together today, and let's just go into His presence. thankful for him today. And we want to invite Pastor Pat just come on up. You all can be seated for a few moments. Pat does an absolutely incredible job with our children's ministry here. And Olivia is an incredible product of Pat's incredible leadership, but also as well as her mother and father, Michael, and Jess, who is at home, I think, sick with Adrian right now, baby sick. So we want to definitely keep him in prayer as well. So if you have children and you want them to be engaged, come talk to us, and we'll introduce you to Pastor Pat as well and kind of get them plugged in, because we want the kids to be unlocked here just like everyone else, just like any adult. And Pat, do your thing.
You know, over the last couple of weeks, I've had to see some of my friends go through some tough things. See people lose people in their families, and I saw somebody lose a sister and stand and be just as strong as they could be, and just knowing that God still loves them, and no matter what, I'm going to bless the Lord. And just yesterday, I saw a 13-year-old girl lose her dad, and she was just awesome. She's like, you know what, God's going to take care of my dad, and God's going to take care of me, and I hope we can teach kids that, and I hope the kids can teach me that, and I hope they teach you that. And so what I'd like for us to do now, what I'd like for you to do anytime you see the kids, is don't take the kids as the kids are putting on a show for us.
Yeah.
The kids are leading us into worship.
Good.
And I got to tell you that the kids never cease to amaze me. And, it's like, wow. I've seen God move in powerful ways with kids at the forefront. I've seen kids lay hands on the sick,
mm-hmm.
and they recover. I've seen kids see me when I'm going through a really tough time and tell me, it's going to be okay. And it's always okay. And I've seen kids just do things that just thrill me. And so the one thing, you know, that God has done is, you know, man brought death into life on himself. God never intended that. Never intended it. Man brought it on himself. But God made a way that, you leave the hospital and you see somebody pass on, and you go home and you see your new grandson. And it just brings joy to your life. Mm-hmm. So for everything that there is in our lives that you think, wow, this is hard to deal with, God will send something that just so much joy to get us through it.
That's good. Thank you.
God.
Before we go, for those who just lost somebody recently during this, you know, really difficult time, I just want you to send out a little prayer for someone who lost a sister, for someone who lost a dad yesterday. Remember them in your prayers today, and know that the joy of Jesus will be in both their hearts. Those who lost people, God may be, or the devil may be able to take your happiness for a short time, but he can never take your joy. He can never take your joy, because joy is eternal. Joy is a lifestyle. Joy is not a situation. And I thank God for the joy. I thank God for the joy that he's given me in my heart. I thank God for the new life that he just injects into everything. And so kids, if you're ready to have, will you guys come and have a good time with me today? Let's have a good time, all right?
Lift up your voice and sing.
The rescue for sinners. Thankful this Lord this morning for the fact that Jesus has come. Let that be the profession of our mouth this morning, that Jesus has come. Let that be the centermost place of your prayers this morning, is that Jesus has come. Amen. So I know that there's many that, with the change of the weather and all these kind of things, they fell susceptible to sickness. There's some in here with some physical pain or sickness. If that's you, would you just raise your hand as just a, hey, I need the Lord to move in my body this morning or in my family, yeah? Okay. What I'd like for us to do for just a moment is if someone's raising their hand around you, if you would just lay hands on them and confess healing and what Jesus has done over them. Would you just do that? See, I know this is like this thing that happens a lot of times when we gather together, but what we're doing is we're trying to set a culture of heaven in earth. What we're trying to do is be more convinced in word and in deed of the culture of heaven than we are of the circumstances of this life. And that That takes more than a belief system that we embrace. It takes the word and deed of our mouths. So let's just touch those people around you and let's profess a new thing over them that Jesus has done. Father, in Jesus' name, we command sickness to leave bodies. Sickness, we command you to go. Sickness, you are not welcome here. We say the life of Jesus be infused. The life of Jesus be injected into that issue. For those suffering with physical pain, we're commanding pain to go in Jesus' name. Some of you that are feeling pain just have to adjust your perspective right now and receive what He has done. Rather than fixating your heart and mind on that pain, turn your heart's focus to Him. Turn your heart's focus on what He's accomplished. And now command that thing to go. Pain, we command you to go in Jesus' name. Tumor, we command you to dissolve in Jesus' name. Virus and sickness, we lay a death sentence upon you right now in Jesus' name. And now we profess love, we profess joy, we profess peace, we profess healing. The kingdom that has come, now we say let it be effective in this body of believers. Let it be effective in this body of believers. For those of you praying with others, just if you would just ask them, have you seen any change? Have you seen any breakthrough at all? If it's you that's being prayed for, I just want you to either test what's going on, if there's some way to test your pain, or if there's some way to realize whether the sickness has moved or changed at all. Because if not, we're just going to pray again. We're not stubborn, we're convinced. Amen? We're not stubborn, we're convinced. We're convinced, we're convinced. And we have a culture where certain things we won't tolerate to just rest in our lives and in our families' lives. Amen? We're just setting a culture right now. Anybody that they've even seen breakthrough during our prayer right now? You have? Yeah. Awesome. Anybody else just seen breakthrough during our prayer? We just need to pray again or what? If there's been no breakthrough, we're just going to pray again. Father, we didn't pray a prayer of hope. We prayed a prayer of faith. And so we center ourselves on what you've accomplished. And we once again say life and healing in Jesus' name. We command that pain to go. Life of heaven from head to toe in Jesus' name. We've come expecting, Daddy. We've come expecting in the name of Jesus. In the name of what He is and what He has authority over, we sit on the right side of Him, declaring with Him what shall be in our lives in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, hug somebody beside you for a minute. Just say hi and hug somebody. I asked Brian to come up here with me just because I have this thing. thing inside of me right now that, and I believe that many of us are feeling it, of, you know, we understand in this season that there are issues that we're dealing with. Some of us are dealing with issues that have happened years ago, as Pat was talking about. Some of us lost a loved one, and this is all too heavy of a reminder sometimes during these holiday seasons, amen? And some of us are facing sickness because, you know, kind of 'tis the season, as the world goes. And so this can be a time that everybody's telling you should be joyful, and you find yourself in a wrestling match. And I just saw in the book of James this morning that there is warning for the rich. Okay? There is perspective for the poor or the struggling. And there's instruction for the sick, all within James, but they all deal with the same thing. And that is the culture of our hearts manifesting in earth through our words and our deeds. Yeah? I was really blessed by my son, my 4-year-old son Bryson, last night, as he just suddenly blurted out, Christmas is all about family and brothers and sisters. Now that blessed me, because I know that how he's been screaming presents, 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 presents the entire season. But that just came out of his heart. And that's not something we sat down to explain to him. Maybe we should have. That's not something we sat down and explained to them, as much as it's something that he observed in word and deed during this holiday season, as we went from family to family, and the talk of our conversation was about getting to connect with certain family members and being able to love one another and be able to give gifts to one another. Are you with me? I'm just saying that in word and in deed, we are starting a movement right now, and that is for the culture of heaven to invade this culture of earth. And we don't, listen, in this, if you're struggling, we're not saying that you shouldn't struggle. We're just saying that it should not change the profession of your mouth. That's something we can control, amen? It should not change the profession of your mouth. And if you could have the courage, even in the midst of your struggle, to center yourself on Him and let your deed walk out the culture of heaven instead of the culture that we're in. Does that make sense? Yeah, so I just encourage each one of you, and I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you in the name of Jesus. A woman told me the other day, because I had to give her a jump in the parking lot, and she said, bless you. And normally I would just, that's kind of like a high five on the way out. And I went, ooh, and the Holy Spirit said, receive that, and it's yours. So I bless you in the name of Jesus. Yeah, I bless you in the name of Jesus. I say absolute life to your families. I say just the absolute favor chasing you down, cornering you, making it so that you cannot miss open doors. Yeah, that you will not miss those, but you'll see them, you'll observe them, and you'll walk in them. Amen. God bless you and your families this morning.
That's good. I'm already on. Dale's one step ahead of me here. Isn't God good? Wow. We have 20-some people that have called in that said, I have the flu. And Ronnie just prayed it off of them. So they should be here by about half hour. Many, many are sick. But we're good. Yeah. We're going to pass out. We're going to receive the offering, the tithe offering. This is the last offering or tithe that you can give in 2013 to get the credit for your taxes for 2013. Next week will be our last offering that we'll receive under KWM, where we're doing all the tax stuff and changes, and it actually takes effect because of the holidays. We were hoping to have it done by this week, but it will actually take effect January 12th. So we'll have new offering envelopes and everything passed out. The church will be in existence at that point, as far as it's already in existence, because in West Virginia you do not have to incorporate to become a church, which is good. But we're going to do that anyway and make everything right. We have an outside bookkeeping service that we use. We contract outside services to do that. So everything will be just the way it's supposed to be, and it'll be independent, if you will, just to keep everything clean, above board, and we'll make all those. We'll have business meeting at the end of the year, and we may even, you know, I'm really praying about this. I'm thinking about even putting that stuff on the internet and putting it on our website, because our website will actually launch the end of January. So I'm thinking about even making some of our financial records available online throughout the year. So there is just absolutely no question anybody can go on as a member. I'm not even sure we're going to have members of the church. I can't find it in the Bible. I've looked from Genesis through Revelation. I can't find the membership in the Bible. So that's what I'm having trouble with. I know there's members of a body, but I don't know how that's all going to work. So if we do it, it'll be because everybody else is doing it. It won't be because God told us to, okay? But I just can't find that. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying I'm just trying to find things that are in the Bible. Some things are just written clearly. The other things are just good common sense. But it depends on who's given the common sense to see if it's common sense or not. Because sometimes it's not good common sense if it's come from the wrong person. I mean, I've followed people before, and they weren't common sense. I thought they were, so I got in trouble. And had to pay for it. I don't know about you all, but I don't want to go there again, okay? So you got to synthesize, process things to yourself, for yourself, allow God to show you what he's doing. And we're excited because if you need an offering envelope, a tithing envelope, offering envelope, it's all the same. If you're going to make out a check, would you just raise your hand? We're going to receive our offering here, tithe, and want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to sow and give. Because Ronnie is right. Book of James is painful, but it also is a great blessing because it separates the soul and the spirit, because it talks about the tongue a lot in there, and it talks a lot about faith. And today we're gonna hit this thing pretty hard. I'm praying. We have Mike Day and Terry are sick. The Meadows family are sick. Dean has got the virus. Pam's daughter. Because Christina had her tonsils out on Friday. And I know this is kind of a personal information, but you all need to know this stuff. Just so you all know how to pray. And the surgery went well, but her stomach was a mess because you couldn't hold anything down. So she was at the emergency room last night till close to 4 o'clock, I guess. They were going to keep her, and they put two big packs of IVs in her and sent her home. So Tim calls this morning and asking for prayer. And just keep them in prayers because she's a young girl that just needs to be whole. It's one thing when the surgery goes well, but the ancillary, the impact of the other part of it kind of gets you. We want to be in prayer for that. And we are not having a New Year's Eve service this year, but next year we will have a Christmas Eve and a New Year's Eve service, not to compete, but just because I believe it's the right thing for us to do. And it'll be a little different because we will be in a facility by next Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. It'll be our own. Just for your information, I did talk to the pastor of Hylon, and I just try to tell you everything that's going on. It's ever going through my mind. I'm just going to randomly tell you. It's a strength and it's a weakness. trust me. I talked to him on Friday. He said that St. Mary's has agreed to buy the building, and it is in the process of working out the details and all of that. But there's no details worked out at this point, but they have agreed to purchase it, and so I don't know what that all means other than the fact is that he kind of just tickled me a little bit. He goes, "Hey man, enjoy the holidays and get you some rest." And I said, "Oh gosh, I don't." I sent him a text back. I said, "I don't. Rest is not my destination. Rest is where I start from." And he said, "I don't even know how to answer that." So it's just being prayer for him because they're in major transition there. But you know what, God, there's a couple other people that have contacted us. One in particular, out of the blue, that's looking to do some things differently. So just be in prayer. God will lead us the right direction, and we'll land where we're supposed to land. Is that fair? Is that right? Because God's doing something great. But we got a lot of people out today being sick. We got a lot of people that are here, and we're thankful for all of you that are here because I do have a message that the Lord's laid on my heart this time, the end of the year, that's going to propel us in. To next year, when I says the recovery, the restore, and reward, and recovery is where we begin, and it's not where we end. Recovery is the beginning. The reward is never ending. It's perpetual. It continues on. Let's pray, and we'll receive our offering. I'll just have you bring it up forward here, and kind of go from there. You all ready? Why don't you stand to your feet with me? Hey, real quickly, I just heard the Lord speak to me on my heart. Nobody, would you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a quick moment? Nobody's looking around. I just heard this in my heart, and I just feel like I need to say it. The reason I'm going to have you bow your hands and close your eyes because you might be standing next to the person I'm going to talk about here. Somebody in here needs a job or a better job. And the reason I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed, because you might be sitting next to your employer and you won't raise your hand. But nobody's looking around. Who's looking for a job? We're going to pray that right real quickly, because I really believe this is a part of what we're here to do. You're looking for a job, employment, not just a job, but the job. And you're looking for a better, improved, more fulfilled position. Who is that? One, I see your hands. Two, three. I see them. They're everywhere. So I knew I heard from the Lord. There you go. Don't be bashful. Okay, Father, in Jesus' name, you saw the hands that went up and the hearts that were turned towards you. You've heard the prayers that have been prayed up to this point for these jobs and for these improved lives. Their families are dependent upon it. And God, you have doors for them that really can only be opened by you. But they have to be able to see the door. So, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name right now that there will be change in the month of January in every one of these circumstances. Every single one of them. Let them be blindsided by your grace and your favor. Let it be such an overwhelming place. Put them in places, Lord, that they're not qualified for. Put them in positions where they shouldn't have gotten the job. But somebody on the inside said, hire them. I heard somebody say, because I would just settle for, and the number in your head was, I would settle for a certain amount. And the Lord says, don't insult him. Appreciate your humility, but he wants you to exercise your faith. He said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Somebody said, if I could just get 20,000. Somebody else said, if I could just make 30. It's not about money. It's about provision. It's about God's goodness for your life and on your life and favor. Somebody that raised their hand just a moment ago, God has six figures called down on you in your lifetime, and you know it. It has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with provision and God's grace and his goodness. Lord says the economic situation in the country is going to be no comparison to what I'm going to do in your life. There's no indicators that you can look on Wall Street and make it work. Remember the two fish and five loaves, he said. And it's not hand to mouth. It's a flow. He said his provision is like grace and mercy. There's no sin that you can commit that would outrun his grace and his mercy. And some of you are sitting here worried about all the ways you've spent your money wrong, and you're in fear of how you've done it. And the Lord says, if I can put grace and mercy on your lifestyle, I certainly can bring in more provision than you even know how to squelch and squander. Don't worry about taking your family out for dinner. I want to bless you. It has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with provision and covenant and relationship. If it's about money, you're chasing the wrong thing. Money is like currency. It's like electric current. It has to flow to keep the power moving. Father, in Jesus' name, bless all of those. And that one or that two that's been offended by what I just said, bless them anyway. The Bible says the promotion is of the Lord. Every good and perfect gift. Every good gift and perfect gift comes from the Father. Of lights, of revelation, and illumination. Oh, yeah. There's somebody in here that has a business and you've been fighting expanding because you really don't even have it all under control in what you're doing. But the Lord says He wants you to have another place. I heard the Lord say He wants it in another state, and you're trying to figure out how it's supposed to work. You figure that you just got this nice little small mom and pop operation right here, and it's doing really well, and it's paying the bills. But the Lord says it's not about just your bills being paid. It's about provision to fund the kingdom across the earth so that His covenant will be established. But I don't know how that's going to work. You don't have to know how that's going to work. He knows how that's going to work. And He's going to do it through relationships. Oh my. I just got to say what I'm hearing. The feds have already begun to talk about loosening their position, and they're going to do that, and the rates are going to increase, and I didn't know all that. But the Lord said that is a, if you'll hear what the kingdom and what the Spirit is saying, now is the time for you to buy. There's somebody in here today, there's somebody or somebody's, they're going to be, you're not going to go looking for it. It's going to approach you. And as it approaches you, you're going to know this word that I've just said to you is going to come back in your mind that the Lord is ordering your steps and bringing you opportunity. More thinking square footage than square miles. Bless you, Lord. Well, let's just receive the offering. How about it? Just bring it on up here. God bless you all as you give, and I'll be ready to go.
Enemies defeated, and we will shout it out, shout it out. Become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. My story. There's more things.
announce one day the Lord says, tomorrow I'm going to have so-and-so give you some purses.
Good. See, you honor the favor of somebody's life. Michael, sing that one more time in the your presence.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience glory of your goodness, Lord.
Yeah. See, Pastor Ronnie said something. He said the faith in word and deed, right? So it's not in word, it's in deed. And it's not all about, the favor of God is not about just as we receive it. It's about actually giving the favor of God, right? So what she's telling you, I know more to that story. And she is the giver. I'm just going to say it. She just, not only did she receive, and I'll tell you why she receives, she just gave us a brand new soundboard for our children's ministry. All right? Those things she wouldn't tell up here. Okay? But I know what happens behind the scenes. I know her. I know that last Easter, she spent a lot of money on a pair of shoes. And somebody walked by her. She wore them one day. And was walking in the church. And somebody said, God, I love those shoes. She kicks them to him. She says, here, you wear them home. Rex remembers. I think Rex had to carry her out barefoot. She gave them away. And my point is this. That's what I'm talking about. It's not about money. It's not about the goods. It's about the currency and the flow of being in the flow of the power of God. What it is. It has nothing to do with large bank account. It has nothing to do with that. I've been down that road. We know what all that means. You don't chase that stuff. What you do is you get in the flow, like Michael was singing about, in the presence of the Lord. Being in the presence of God. And demonstrating His presence everywhere you go.
The part of you that does believe, He's calling it forth and He's giving strength and support to it right now. It's for you. This wrestling match you're feeling right now is for you. to the issues that I hold on to, and in the name of Jesus, grace to my humility. Yeah?
Amen. Amen. That's good. Okay.
Weeks ago, you all prayed for my daughter. She was backslidden. She was living with a man that was bisexual. She was going through a divorce. She lost her children. I'm sure you remember some of the story. The story now is her divorce got finalized. The man that she's living with got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. Assembly of God Church sent her to St. Augustine for 3 days and 3 nights, am I right, to sing and to lead praise and worship, because that's what she did as a child. That's how I raised her. She got offered a position in an ethnic church to be a praise and worship leader.
Oh, wow.
These are the things that happened immediately after her divorce. She came back to the Lord, and the turnaround was amazing. Amazing. Because of your prayers, and she had been in such a turmoil, in such hell for like 3 or 4 years, and overnight, all this happened. Overnight. She got her girls back.
All right.
She got her girls back. This happened overnight.
Amen. Amen. Isn't it good? You know, I feel like that one of the graces that's on us as a group, as a church, is we're system or structure breakers or busters, if you will. Like what Pastor Ronnie was talking about, that internal struggle that we go through sometimes, because we all go through them. There are parts of each one of us that our mind is not renewed because we're living under a different structure, a different set of principles. And as we're under that, and I'm going to give you an example of what I mean by that. Is that, you know, Adam's call was to be under heaven's structure, heaven's system, heaven's culture, and he was in the garden to do that. And the earth was full of chaos. It was under a different structure. It was under a different system, right? So Adam's responsibility was to take it from the garden and go right out into the earth and take the culture, the system, the structure that was given to him by God, by the Spirit, and penetrate it in the earth. And he failed, so he became subject to the structure that he was supposed to change. That makes sense? But see, God raised up a man named Abraham. Abraham was a wealthy man. Abraham was it's not about money. He was a man of influence. He was God's representative in the earth at that time. Right? He was God's man. God began to speak to him with the faith of Abraham to live by a structure and culture and system that was not of the world that had fallen, the chaotic world, right? So Abraham has Isaac. Guess what? Isaac raises up knowing, hey, I know this structure. I know this system. I know this culture because my dad taught it to me. It's not like the world system. It's the one from heaven. I know it is because I was up on. I remember still laying on the pile of figs and branches and trees when I was ready to be sacrificed. I know that culture by faith. So he raises up his son named Jacob. And Jacob says, "Hey, I know that culture." But Jacob battled between the two because he was wrestling with the world and wrestling within himself, right? But he had a good heritage. So ultimately, he ends up winning out and becomes the name Israel and has 12 patriarchs. And the 12 tribes of Israel came from him, all with the same mandate that Adam had from the very beginning, which was to live by the system of heaven and take it to a chaotic world. He didn't say change the world. He said take the system from heaven of the kingdom, take it to the world, and everybody that's still living under that influence of that structure and that system, introduce them to a different one. And if they'll abide and live into the new system and structure, they'll be blessed. That makes sense so far? Because I'm going somewhere with that. But 430 years later, the children of Israel, Egypt, they were landing in Egypt from Joseph, became second in command in the entire nation under a famine. They bring all of the 12 tribes back into the land in Egypt. His dad comes with them. There was a great famine in the land. In fact, the structure and system was so bad it was killing everybody. And nobody had food. But there was one. Because he lived by a different system. He lived by a different structure. He had a different culture. He had a different worldview. He saw all around him the influence of a chaotic world, a greedy, dog-eat-dog, get ahead, gain ahead, get in front of somebody to be first. You got to get in front of them to live. You got to just outlive somebody and knock somebody else down to get them. He saw how that worked, but that wasn't the mold he was made from. Why? Because he came from a different inheritance. Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob had Joseph. So they were in Egypt for 430 years, but there came a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. And he brought in another system. He brought in a different structure. And he brought in a different culture. And he brings in Egypt something that was different than Abraham, different than Isaac, different than Jacob, different than the 12 tribes. This one was about him. It was about a Pharaoh that was going to build cities for himself and set up his own personal empire. And for 430 years... the descendants of Abraham were under the influence of a world system that was to make them slaves and not free. So they grew up in that system. And the next generation grew up in that system. And the next generation grew up in that system. 10.5 generations grew up in that system. They all heard about Abraham. He was their forefathers, much like this country learns of their forefathers, that we can't relate to them other than what we can read. Because sometimes we look around us and we don't see any fingerprints of what they thought of when they originated, as did the children of Israel under Pharaoh's bondage. Am I making sense? A system that was about you being slavery, working hand to mouth, and you won't own homes. You'll work for other people to own homes. And you can engage in the world system, but you can be out here and you got to get out here and chase it. You got to get out here and work with it. You got to be a part of it. And you got to lie like they lie, cheat like they cheat, do what they do. And you got to be a part of that. And it's a whole different system. And they learn to be comfortable because Pharaoh threw them just enough to get by in their slavery. And they were okay in their slavery, although their hearts were crying out because there was something on the inside of them that was a part of a different lineage. So they cried out to God. They cried out to God. And finally the Bible says, they cried out to God and he heard them. But God raised up a man that was called to break and bust up that system. Bust up that culture. Bust up that structure. His name was Moses. The problem was Moses was born to a mother that was in that same system. So Moses had to get run out of that system to learn about what the system of God wanted to teach him. And it looked bad on the surface because he ran over here and he fled for a long 40 years on the backside of the wilderness with a bunch of sheep. Away from that system, but had the influence of that system. He learned how they talked. He learned how they were. So he had an influence of Egypt, but there was something about him that he was hearing from the voice of God. Because God called him out. And he said, I'm going to send you back, Moses, into that system. But this time you're going to bring my people out of the structure and out of the system. I'm not telling you to change Egypt to get my people out of Egypt. They're under an influence that they can't see. They've learned to settle for the second best. They've learned to settle for just the things come to them. And as long as I got a little bit of security, a little bit of safety here, I'm okay. But I never called them to be secure in their hand to mouth. I never called them to be secure in their just the little boxes over there. I never called them to become comfortable in their illusion and in their bondage. They don't know what responsibility and freedom is. Freedom to them is getting a day off or going a couple of weeks without a fight or not being sick for just a little bit. They don't really understand about freedom because I've put something in their heart that they're supposed to evangelize and take the entire world and the entire earth. And I want them to take them, the same voice that's speaking to you, Moses, and the principles that I'm giving you and the system that you're seeing that's from heaven. I need you to get them into my people, and then they need to take them throughout the entire world. Right? Are you guys following me? So Moses goes to Egypt. And it was good for them to come because he says, hey guys, I'm getting you out of here. This is it. You're coming. God heard your cry. You're coming out. So they get saved and come out. Much like we do when we hear the message of the kingdom and we're in the world system. We're in our trespasses, dead in our trespasses and sin. Somebody calls us out and says, hey, let me tell you the gospel, the good news. I hear that. I like that. I'll follow that. I step out. Wow. I'm not physically under that system or structure any longer. But the problem is the structure and the system is still in my mind. So I trade the world system, the world structure, for what we know as the church system and church structure. See, recovery is not the end. Recovery was when Moses said, come on, I'm bringing you out. That recovery is the beginning. Right?
Amen.
It's not the end. It's the beginning. And I appreciate people that have come out of addictions and out of bondage. And I appreciate that. And I talk to people all the time. And whatever it takes to make it work for you is fine with me. But something on the inside of me, when I hear somebody say, man, it's been 242 days. Since what? Since recovery. I've been in recovery for 242 days. I'm okay with that for a season. But we got to move on, guys. You have to have another point of reference from when you just got saved. Are we okay? This is what I'm going to push on this a little bit because this is what the world is living. All right? So they come out, and now they're in the wilderness, and they've traded the bondage of the world for now they're in the bondage in the wilderness because the Egypt is still in their minds. The structure, the system, the slavery mindset. And when times get tough, they want to go back because of this scripture right here that says it in Numbers chapter 11. They begin to complain. They begin to murmur. Watch this. Soon the people begin to complain about their hardships. See, when you're living in the world, it's a little easier. See, Egypt was safe. They had food. They knew the routine. They knew what was expected. They knew that person was going to con them because that's just what they do in the world. They knew that person was going to lie. That person was going to cheat because that's just what they do in the world. Right? They expected it. But when you come into the church and you start seeing those kind of things, people begin to go, wait a minute, something's wrong. And you get disillusioned with what you think is supposed to be this kingdom structure and system, but it really isn't the kingdom structure and the system. Okay? Then the Lord's anger blazed against them. He sent a fire to rage among them. He destroyed some of the people in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people screamed to Moses for help. And when he prayed to the Lord, the fire stopped. After that, the area was known as Taberah, which means the place of burning, because fire from the Lord burned among them there. Then the foreign rabble who was traveling with the Israelites began to crave the good things of Egypt. And the people of Israel also began to complain. Oh, for some meat, they exclaimed. We remember, listen, a sign of the structure and system that you're living in will be determined, do you spend most of your thinking from where you were or where you're going. If the best days are still yet behind you, you're in an old structure, an old system. If the best days are still ahead of you, you're moving into the new system, a new structure. Am I okay? we remember the fish we used to eat for free in Egypt. And we had all the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlics we wanted. But now our appetites are gone. All we ever see is this manna. And God brought him manna. He gave them provision as they're journeying from accountability and slavery into the place that was freedom with responsibility. That's where he's taking us. So in the process from recovery of a person's, when you recover, Jesus said this, I came to recover sight to the blind. Remember that in Luke chapter 4? What he's saying is, I come to open their eyes, to give those that are in darkness light. Now that they have light, your mind still has to be restored. It has to be renewed in the process of life. Right? So the old way of thinking has to go and the new way of thinking has to enter in. That's how this works. Because if the new information comes to you and the new way of living comes to you, it will conflict with what you know. Pastor Ronnie just said it. It will become conflicting with what you know. And as it conflicts with what you know, the tendency, if you're living from the old system and it is your security, you want to go back to safety as opposed to embrace the conflict and press through that and allow your mind to be transformed as you go forward. Right? Is this making sense? Because what begins to happen is life happens. You make up in your mind. You get discontent with life. And you're looking around and there's nothing satisfying. That's your sign that God is moving you to a place. He's confronting your current system and everything that you're in bondage to, whether you know it or you're not. And he brings that in conflicts with your mind. And then you've got to process all of this, because if you want to go back to safety and go back to the security and go back to the place where it just feels good and I didn't have all those troubles, you can live in Egypt, but you're not going to change the world. You can live in the place of safety, but the people that you're supposed to reach out in contact with will never get reached and never get taught, never get touched, because you're back here because it's about our safety as opposed to risking our safety for those people that are still under the structure and system in bondage. So you basically have a people that are living out there in the world that are in sin, and they're under the bondage of sin and the system of this world. Our job is not to take on the system. Our job is to get the people living under a new system and new structure while they're in their current positions and roles in life. Right? So it conflicts with their mind, but we're coming with a message and the power of demonstration of the Spirit to bring them hope and life, grace, mercy, healing, favor, every aspect of the kingdom, because we are living by a different system. But unless the system is working in us, we can never give them the system that they're looking for. We okay? We have to have it functioning within us. So personalize this. What part of your life, since you've been saved, and when I mean saved, you're in recovery. You recovered your current position in Christ when you got saved. When your eyes were opened and come off addiction and into the thing your God called you to be into, and now you're here, you're in recovery. And now you're being restored in the process of time as your mind gets renewed. But the ultimate goal is not recovery. It's not just restoration. It's reward. And the reward is the people that are still out, are the people that are out there in the slavery of the bondage of the system of the world that belong to him. There's no greater reward to bring somebody that's in bondage out from the bondage into the kingdom. And I'm not talking about just getting them saved. Illumination happens in their mind and they begin to flourish in the kingdom. And they're at a place where they're able to give away what they have received. If they can't give it, they haven't fully received it. Are we okay? It starts with us. It starts with us. God resists the proud, He's not talking about people. He's talking about us. And some of us, including myself, have unrenewed minds, and we're still living under the law or the world. The world system, they brought him out of Egypt. He brought him into the wilderness, and now he had to give them a law so they could be accountable to. But God never wanted them to be in Egypt under slavery. He never wanted them to be under the law. He wanted to be under a responsible connection to the system and culture of heaven by the Spirit, where they could penetrate all over earth and bring freedom and responsibility everywhere they went. Right? So the church has been in a wilderness. I've been in it. You've been in it. Some aspects of my life, I'm already crossed over into the land of promise. But some aspects of my life, I'm still fighting this unrenewed mind. Anybody with me? Amen. What am I talking about? All right. So God begins to move. So he knows what it takes to challenge the system that we are facing in aspects of our life. So he orders your steps, and he sends people into your life that are system and culture busters and breakers to challenge you in the system that you're still functioning under that's not of his kingdom. Is this too hard? Are you following me? Because I feel like I'm being complicated here, and I'm trying to simplify it. I'm not being theory. I'm going to be practical here in just a moment. But you got to get this. You got to realize something. When the children of Israel were under Egypt, or in Egypt, it was because they were under the Pharaoh system. The church has been under a system in this country, in the world, for decades. Decades. So much so that we're not even sure if we're rebelling against the right system or the wrong system. Because somebody will tell you you're in rebellion when in reality your heart is crying out for freedom. Oh, come on. I'm telling you the truth. That's why a president can get up and run for change and the people go, ha, that's a call to get people out of Egypt. The challenge is getting them out of Egypt brings it into the wilderness. And if he doesn't get them out of the wilderness into the promised land, they'll want to go back to Egypt. Or they'll settle for being in the wilderness, saved, and still in bondage. And that's us. That's the church. We're happy to have our sins forgiven, living by the grace of God. And now we're in this message of grace and kingdom, and we're fighting amongst ourselves because we're afraid if we teach people the true grace and message, the message of grace and the kingdom, they will want to go back to Egypt. They'll start going back to do things they shouldn't be doing, not realizing that the same message that brought you out of Egypt by Moses, the deliverer, is the same message that's going to take us out of wilderness into the promised land by Jesus, Joshua. Are you hearing me? We're in the law. We've traded in the world's bondage for religious bondage. And the church is fighting the world, and the world is fighting the church. And now we've got a group of people that have moved past all of that. And we're looking back at it and going, hey, wait a minute. There's no difference. The only difference between the people that are living in the wilderness and the people that are living in Egypt is one is going to heaven and one is going to hell. That's the only difference. I'm not minimizing that. That's a wonderful thing. Put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I know too many people when I'm over here in certain areas of my life, and I look and I say, they're going to heaven and they're going to hell. But they're both living in hell until they get to heaven. And it's the grace of God that's going to take us in. It's going to challenge us. And it's not going to make our flesh feel good. It's going to make our flesh submit and yield. And you don't get the flesh submitting and yielding like David did. I get my flesh under subjection. It doesn't work. If it did, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. Get your flesh under subjection. Well, go ahead. Let your flesh get your flesh under subjection. That's why we have people in recovery that are saved, guys. I'm telling you. And we're counting the days. And we should celebrate it. And we should memorialize it. We should. But it can't be their mark. They have to get into the place. And the same grace that brought them out of the world, out of addictions, out of the mess, traded Pharaoh for Moses. Pharaoh for Moses. If Moses could get him in, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. So we've traded the world for religious bondage. Pastor Ronnie hit it. It's within ourselves. Are you hearing me? I've crossed over in many things and many things I haven't. Whoa, transparent. And if there's anybody else that's crossed over in everything, when you haven't, you lied. Proper assessment of yourself. What I'm saying, though, is that we've got to get people into that next place. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
All right, how do we get there? We have to realize it goes beyond us. It's not about getting stuff to us. It's not even about getting salvation to us. It's about getting the kingdom through us. Are we okay? Listen, here's the deal. Phil Robertson got back on A&E. Why? Because the church stood up, right? Everybody amening on that? I wasn't even going to make a public comment on this, but I'm going to do it anyway. All right? But you see what I'm saying? Boom. Or amen. Phil Robertson got back on. Cracker Barrel went back, and they come back the next day. It's a wonderful thing. But let me tell you something. I respect the right for a man to choose a man. Don't take a soundbite of this and put this on YouTube. I respect the choice. Right? I respect the choice the same way that a man would choose a woman. To me, one is evil and one is good. But evil and good is on the same tree. Unless the choices that are made lead to life, it is not the kingdom. Take a man and a man living what they would call happily ever after. Take a husband and a wife throwing dishes at each other, fighting the fight of faith every day, trying to just survive because they hate each other. You tell me, I say this one, man to man, is Egypt. But I say this one over here, man to woman, fighting every day, is wilderness. It's not the promised land. It's not the kingdom. It's not life. So unless we, as a people, begin to live in life, we will not be able to have something for the world and the wilderness to come to. Are you following what I'm saying? You see what I mean? We got to quit making the argument sin or bondage in religion. It's a step of progress, but it's not the end. It can't be. Are you guys following what I'm telling you? Listen, there's got to be a time where the homosexual agenda are looking at the church and looking at kingdom marriages and kingdom families and saying, my God, that's it. But at the same time, the homosexual agenda is looking at that. So is the people in wilderness, church people going, my God, this is not, I can't stay here. Even though we're just not divorcing, we're not living in life. Hey, we got to get there, guys. It's not a matter of just my body's hurting and we got to get them healed and whole. And how is that going to happen? Our message has got to change. Our message has got to become grace and truth and life. That's where we're headed to. It's not just recovery. It's not just restoration. It's reward. And the world is looking for the reward of him while he is looking for his reward, them. And our job is to penetrate culture with not just the law and not just get better to come out of your sin, but demonstrating life in our areas of renewed, restored mind from a saved position as a son and a daughter and living this thing out in heirship. We are an ambassador because our citizenship has changed. Help me out. Stand to your feet with me, will you? Is this making any sense? Now, I am not for homosexual marriage, period, right? And I am not for a husband and a wife fighting just to stay married. One might be evil, and one might be good, because they're just not divorcing. But I'm telling you something, they're both swinging from the same tree. We got to get people into life where there's peace and joy and righteousness. And those things are not trying to hold on and hang on. And the areas of our life that are not renewed, we're still in the wilderness trying to live it by the flesh, live it by the law, and earning our way through when God said, I've given you grace and I've given you favor to embrace by faith to be renewed in every aspect of your life. And that's going to be our charge next year. We're going to identify what's evil, but we're also going to start labeling what's good. And we're not satisfied with good. We want life. He didn't come. I come that you might have good and good more abundantly. No, it's life, eternal. That's where we're headed. And it's going to be the message of righteousness, the message of grace. And it's not going to run people back to Egypt, but it is going to challenge people in their law. Oh, this is good. I'm just getting started. Come back next week. We're going to hit this thing hard. I promise you, we're going to hit it hard. Other people are going to be speaking because there's other people that have facets of this that I don't even know yet. Okay? There's people here that have messages on righteousness that's far beyond where I need to even be able to see right now. But we're going to get there. And we're not in heresy. So if anybody says, are you going to that church of heresy? Just say, yeah, come and check it out. Because we're not. We're learning of Him every step of the way by the Spirit. But I'm determined not to have people in recovery for 45 years. And I'm telling you, I am determined not to have people in the wilderness where they're one step away from going back out into the world or going to... No, we have got to get people into the kingdom. And Christ Himself, Yeshua, which is Jesus Himself, crossed over the Jordan, went across the river, brought them in, and they live forevermore. It's a place of freedom, but it's a place of great responsibility. We got to trade accountability for responsibility and bondage for freedom. Because there's nobody else coming to this earth until Jesus comes back but us. And while we're here, we're ambassadors and citizens of the system and structure of heaven invading the system and structure of this world. Father, in Jesus' name, make this alive. God, make it alive in us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you next Sunday.